There's a dangerous movement in evangelicalism known as the New Apostolic Reformation, and they literally claim that in the past few decades, God has restored apostles and prophets to the church.
Chris Roseborough talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
In my presentation, I'll be making the case against modern-day apostles and prophets. As part of the presentation, we'll be talking about who's teaching this ecclesiology, the inherent dangers of it, but also what's at the root of it, and that is a false understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case against modern-day prophets and apostles Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Well, Saturday night at 8 o'clock, I know where I'm gonna go. I'm gonna pick my baby up and take her to the picture show.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. When we previously talked to Pastor Ted Giese, we were reviewing the movie Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. One of the things we did not discuss in our brief review there was the God talk in this film. We'll get a little refresher on what the film is about, the characters here, and discuss the God talk in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Just recap a little bit what we discussed last time when we were reviewing the movie before we get into some of what you call the God talk in the movie.
Yeah, we talked about the family aspects of the film in terms of the characters themselves. There's a family story kind of going on here, that these are all, the adult characters are all mostly from broken, rough, sometimes even abusive childhoods, and now they are adults and they're looking for family. The previous film was kind of an origin story film where they kind of gathered themselves together and became this family unit. And now in this film, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, you see the stresses that come upon this newly formed family that they've made as the film unfolds. So what happens is that the main character, Peter Quill, that character, Star-Lord, he is reacquainted with, I guess, or introduced to for the first time, his biological father. So then the question is who is this person? Is this person the person that he has idolized him to be? The person is named Ego and is played by Kurt Russell. So you have here Chris Pratt and Kurt Russell together in this film and their father and son meeting up. And that's a lot of the movie. Like, how does that interact with everything else? That's what's going on in this movie. The strange thing is that adds into the whole thing is who is Ego, and he turns out to be something called Ego the Living Planet, and this is where a lot of the God talk revolves around this character in this film.
So we're talking about a character manifests itself in different ways in the film, but we're talking about the guy's father is a planet.
Yeah, and that's very strange. So, I mean, in Greek mythology, you can think of like Saturn, you know, and then, you know, eating his children and stuff like that. Like, that is kind of out there too. But in this case, it's on a very literal planet. So, again, we're into spoiler talk territory. If you listened yesterday, you already had some things spoiled, and here we are talking about this again. But I think our variety of people who listen to Issues Etc. are wide enough that some of you may not even see the movie at all, but may want to know something about what's going on. So essentially what you have here, this is more spoilers, is that it seems like a person here, Kurt Russell, but it's almost like an avatar or just a manifestation, like a little nodule of this thing, Ego the Planet. And what happens is that he's gone out all across the universe, all across the galaxy, and he has been implanting little seeds everywhere around the universe in order to spread his consciousness, his physical presence all the way through the whole universe. He wants to take over everything and make the whole of everything him. So what he did is he would go to these planets, and because the job was too big, he'd go to these planets and then impregnate the various kinds of aliens he'd find in different places in the hopes of having a child that could carry his genetic material. Star-Lord is that kid, the first one who actually has his genetic material where he can do the things that Eagle, the living planet, can do.
So where does the God talk come in?
Well, you know, he gets, I think it's Drax the Destroyer, who's very literal, who says, you know, like, then you're a god, right? And he says, well, you know, this is Kurt Russell as Eagle the Planet. He says, in a kind of a false humility, you know, God with a small g. So this is where that kind of comes in. And then literally there is kind of this pivotal moment in the movie where Peter Quill realizes, Star-Lord realizes that Ego, the living planet, isn't the father he thought he was supposed to be, or that the father he had hoped he would be. And they end up fighting with each other. They turn on each other. So Ego, the living planet, says, listen to me. You are a god. If you kill me, you'll be just like everybody else. So he thinks of himself, this Ego, the living planet, thinks of himself as a god. But he has his own kind of origin story. He takes them around and shows them kind of like a panorama of his life, quote unquote. And he talks about the first thing he remembers is winking into existence. And then slowly over time, he just adds and adds and adds layers and layers and layers until he finally was able to control matter in such a way that he became this planet. And then, of course, he's on this continuing quest to have meaning in life by absorbing all of the universe into himself.
How do you approach that as a Christian coming into a film like this, where what we're dealing with is obviously someone who thinks of himself as a god, but obviously even in the universe of the comic book and the film isn't?
Yeah, and I think this is the important detail. So there are a couple of different kinds of criticism that we can employ when we go to see films. One is called reader response criticism. And reader response criticism is the criticism where you bring what you believe to what you're looking at. So this is when we talk about bringing your confession of faith to what you're seeing. So you want to bring everything you have in your knowledge in terms of catechism, in terms of scripture, and you want to apply that to what you're looking at. So when you hear this kind of talk of this kind of character in this kind of way, and the term God is being thrown around, then the question is, does this actually match up with God as we know it from Scripture? Like God as we know him from Scripture, is this the way this matches up? So you need to like measure them against each other. Another thing you want to think about is internal consistency. So all of these movies are part of a meta-narrative. So you can take Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 and you can put it right up alongside Thor, The Dark World, and say, well, how do these two movies talk to each other, or how do they inform each other in terms of the story itself? So in Thor, The Dark World, you have Loki, the adopted son of Odin, who's a brother of Thor, has this conversation with Odin, and Loki says, well, I just went to Earth to be like you were, a god to them. And then Odin snaps and says, we're not gods. We live, we die. You know, we're like others, kind of a thing. So then you've got a character who is called a god in the whole Marvel universe, who then says, we're not actually gods. So the conceit is, no, we're not actually gods. We just live a really long time and we're very powerful, but we're part of, you know, the created world. They just have a different longevity, like within the internal consistency of the story itself. So then they become part of creation, but not the creators of everything, if you're catching what I'm saying. We kind of talked about this a while back when we talked about the Apostles' Creed, and in some of these movies. So you kind of want to see, what is the internal consistency? What do we bring to it when we actually watch it? If you know, you can also think about what the writers are interested in. Now, this is a very important thing, because if the writers, maybe the writers are just naturalists, and there is no such thing as, for the writers, there's no such thing as God at all. And, you know, anything that appears to be God is super interesting, but isn't actually a God or anything like that. So maybe that's their point of view, you know, but here you have this character, Ego the Planet, who is talking about slowly over time developing, growing, becoming this thing that he became. Well, that's not like, you know, if you go to your catechism, you'll read about God being immutable, you know, being, you know, unchanging and being eternal. You know, so there's not going to be a time when he was not, for instance. So you kind of start to bring your confession of faith to what you're looking at, even if it's a silly space opera with, you know, poop jokes and stuff in it.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. He'll be with us for a few minutes on the other side of the break. We're talking about the God Talk in the movie Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
You know, the feminists used to say the personal is political, and we should have listened to them when they said that, because they meant it. And what they meant was that absolutely every detail of your life would become politicized, and that they meant to get into your life.
What we find here revealed in Job is that the point of being a Christian is Christ, is knowing Him, who is the Son of God, our Savior, our Redeemer, who shed His blood for us.
There's a social justice super clause. In other words, all laws should be interpreted according to the demands and dictates of social justice.
You've got this juxtaposition of low childbearing rates among my generation combined with a huge surge in pet ownership. So there's something going on here.
In the next hour, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll play those four soundbites in their entirety. You listen and then you vote and pick which one will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. In the meantime, God Talk in the movie Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 with Pastor Ted Giese. Ted, with just a few minutes here, you said one of the ways that we evaluate is we bring our own views of God here. And that means that we can kind of handle this loosely, not only as fiction, but also as maybe somebody else's idea of what a God ought to be and perhaps learn something from that. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, well, in this case, okay, let's take it at face value, and we'll say that, you know, even though this is something where it is not immutable, it's not like God is not something that always existed. Like, he wouldn't, like, if you were to match this up and you said that this is the opinion of the person writing the movie, that, you know, even if there is such a thing as God, then he too would have to have a beginning, because everything's evolving, et cetera, et cetera. If that's their idea, then when you look at this whole movie, you have what turns into a very antagonistic relationship where the son tries to kill the father and effectively does. So is this some sort of like antagonistic feeling between the writer and God? That might be something that you might think about in terms of the movie. It's kind of fascinating. I find this kind of stuff exciting and interesting. I mean, why else would we be talking about this, you know? But you do find all sorts of really interesting things when you sit down in the movie theater, if you take the time to think about it.
Finally, with only about a minute here, Ted, Christian walks away from this with a certain knowledge that there is a God and that he's not to be located as a planet out there in the universe someplace, and that there's a lot, well, we're not dealing with a fallible creature who is not as good or perhaps even worse than us. What are your pastoral thoughts with about a minute?
Well, yeah, this is the thing. So if you have taken kids to see this movie, if you're going to, if family members have seen it who are, you know, then you end up in a conversation about this, it's really important to go, what did you think about that character? You know, like, what did you think about it? And what did you think about the fact that they called him, like, quote unquote, a god at different points? What did you think about that? And then, of course, what is it that we actually believe as Christians? And just go to the creed. That's the best place to go. In fact, this is kind of part of the plot of the movie. If a god took on a physical form, quote unquote, came to Earth, impregnated a lady, and then had a child, what would that be more like? That sounds like Mormonism or ancient paganism or something, right? So that's in this movie. So, you know, being able to compare and contrast these things and say, okay, so is that actually what happened when, because what does the Apostles' Creed say? You know, it's conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, not a physical manifestation coming down to physically impregnate a woman. So, you know, if you're starting to make these comparisons, I think that it's good. It's a good place to do that. You know, like, hey, remember the Apostles' Creed? How does that apply to this?
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You can read Pastor Giese's review of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Ted, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., we're going to kick off with This Week in Pop American Christianity. I've been seeing something of this in social media. Sounds so strange. The sneaky squid spirit. That's right, the sneaky squid spirit doctrine, taught by the editor of Charisma Magazine. Pastor Chris Roseboard joins us for This Week in Pop American Christianity. Then we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in Hour 2. Stay tuned.
where Christianity meets culture. You're listening to Issues, Etc.